Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Harris Cherokee Resort. Find us online at caesars.com/harris-cherokee.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
If we are completely honest with ourselves, there's been a little tension around Dog Nation maybe as of late. Maybe you've noticed this, you know, around the... You know, the things that have happened thus far this season, whether it be the loss to Florida that took Georgia out of contention for the SEC East, the performance of JT Daniels this past Saturday, which was great, but it kind of left some people wondering, well, maybe Daniels could have been playing a little sooner than he was. Maybe Daniels could have helped the game against Florida a couple of weeks ago. Listen, anytime it's not a national championship year, there's always going to be just a little bit of intramural squabbles here and there, a little bit of infighting, if you will. And so we've experienced some of that around the world of Dog Nation over the course of the last few days. So I thought it might be nice here on this day before Thanksgiving to see if we could all unite together around something. Let me see if I can rally the base here and bring the factions back together. No matter if you are trust Kirby Smart, no matter what he does, believe whatever he says, even the stuff that contradicts the other stuff, just whatever Kirby says is great for me. If you're on that side or if you're on the side of maybe I would like to know a little bit more about some of this JT Daniels stuff and exactly how this is played out. If you're on that side, let me see if I can bring both groups together here and get everybody under one roof and happy as we head towards a Thanksgiving Day tomorrow. And thankfully, there are people out there in the world that enable us to do that, including, noted SEC hater, professional troll Danny Cannell. Many of you know who Cannell is. He's been, you know, bouncing around from network to network. Let me just leave it at that. He's been bouncing around from network to network, talking about college football. And generally, Cannell takes a little bit of an anti-SEC spin. Now, listen, I've never minded that. That's not a big deal for me. You know, frankly, you got to have some sort of shtick. You got to have some way to make people remember you. You know, Cannell's shtick has been kind of an anti-SEC thing. And so from that standpoint, at least the stuff that he says sometimes can be memorable, so maybe the shtick is working for him a bit. But last night, College Football Playoff Top 25 comes out. Georgia was in the top 10. Georgia's number 9 in the initial CFP rankings last night. And Cannell, doing some work for one of those CBS outlets, the HQ, the streaming digital platform that they have, Danny Cannell goes on that platform last night and rips into the committee for having Georgia at number 9. So here's something we can all kind of rally around, that Danny Cannell is a total blowhard, and everything that he says is, for the most part, completely nonsensical, including not happy with Georgia at number 9 last night. Take a listen to this.
Shows you the love affair that the committee has with the SEC, which is okay some years, but this year, Georgia's supposedly dominant defense was shredded by both Alabama and Florida Gators. Like, so where is this dominant defense supposedly coming from? They have one win, which is okay, against an Auburn team, which came way back in week 2. They have, now, I guess, is the committee saying, based on one game with JT Daniels, that somehow this is a top 10 worthy offense all of a sudden? I simply do not get it, where the Georgia Bulldogs come in as a top 10 team. It is ridiculous. The only thing they could possibly say is it is brand recognition and utmost, you know, blind a love affair with the SEC, which this season, if you've watched the entirety of that conference, is not as good as it's been in years past. So that's really my big problem, is where Georgia is at number 9.
So listen, during a game, if you go to our forum at forum.dognation.com, you'll for the most part see Georgia fans at each other's throats about whatever's happening during a game. If you go to social media at any point in time, there's always a healthy debate amongst fans about what Georgia does well, what it needs to be better, what the gap is between Georgia and the very best teams in college football. We have this on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort. People weigh in on our comment sections. They share their own thoughts. And listen, when it comes to something that generates passion the way that college football does, there's always going to be disagreement. No one's ever going to see things 100% the same way. That's frankly normal. That's healthy. I've got no problem with that. It doesn't make me nervous. However, here's one thing we can all agree on. That the only thing that's ridiculous here is Danny Cannell making this big of a deal out of Georgia being number 9. Even as someone like me, who has openly talked about the things in which I wish that Georgia was better at. Frankly, I think at this stage of the situation here in 2020, I think that Georgia probably should be a little better than it is right now. I don't mind telling you that. There are some issues in which I assumed that this season Georgia would be better at than it has been. Many of you probably feel the same way. However, it is not as egregious to rank them in the top 10 as Danny Cannell just did right there. We can all, for the most part, kind of agree on that. Because here's the thing that we forget, and this does matter. That when you see Georgia go on the road, lose to Alabama, as disappointing as it is, the measuring stick for who's good and who's not is not winning in Tuscaloosa, because that's a bar so high that, you know, 120 whatever teams in the country couldn't even envision being able to do that. And yes, it's a disappointment this year to see the regression of having Georgia lose to Florida after having owned that series in Jacksonville in recent years, but that's a team that also ranked in the top 6 last night, humorously, behind Texas A&M, which I'm sure Gators fans are loving, and we'll get more into a little bit later on in the show. But when your only losses this season are to number 6 and a number 1, the idea that you're some sort of joke as a football team, some sort of embarrassment, well, that's obviously Danny Cannell just trying to be a professional troll, trying to be a, you know, typical SEC hater, which he has been. Because here's the thing that we're not getting in 2020, which, you know, Georgia has certainly used to its advantage in the past. When you see these SEC teams that Cannell likes to beat up on, when you see them playing against non-SEC teams the last few years, you start to understand why, if the selection committee does have, as Cannell describes it, a blind loyalty to the SEC, you see where that comes from. You know, Georgia's played Notre Dame twice in the last, 3 years, before this year. Won both those games. Georgia played Georgia Tech out of the ACC last year, hung more than 50 points on them. You know, it's the games against teams outside the SEC where the SEC teams usually show what they're all about. Auburn beat Oregon. You can kind of go through the list of, you know, SEC teams the last couple of years have validated the prestige this league has earned because of what they're doing in non-conference games. This year, we're not getting a chance to see those games. For the most part, people are only playing games against their conference. So when Cannell says the SEC's down this year, my question would be, how do you know? How could you possibly know that when all we're seeing are these teams playing each other and the SEC has 3 teams currently ranked in the top 6? So I thought that'd be kind of a nice way to kind of get things going, which is we may see some things about Georgia that are not perfect right now. And we may wonder what could have been done during the season to make some of those blemishes maybe look a little bit better, smooth out some of those rough edges. And those kind of intramural arguments are all fine and good. But when it comes time for Thanksgiving, it's kind of time to get on the same page again. And here's something on which all Georgia fans can agree. Danny Cannell is a total doofus. And his rant against Georgia last night made very little sense. Now, there's also this. As Georgia, toting that number 9 ranking, gets ready to go on the field against South Carolina on Saturday, there is obviously at least some need to validate this ranking, some need to remind people just how good Georgia really can be. The performance of JT Daniels last week would be a little bit of a foreshadowing of, hey, maybe this team is really ready to be a little bit more well-rounded. Not playing as great a defense as they could, but more often than not, playing pretty good defense, and more often than not, you know, showing some competency to run the football, even though they didn't really show up against Mississippi State. But the time against South Carolina is now kind of bring all of this under the roof at the same time and kind of have all those pistons firing together simultaneously, which means getting more out of the running game than you got against Mississippi State. And, you know, Kirby Smart, to his credit, really hasn't shied away from talking about that as something that he wants to see more of. And even though most fans kind of glossed over, and I mean by most, the majority, you know, more than 50%, kind of glossed over the defensive struggles against the Maroon Bulldogs and glossed over the absence of the running game because it was so much fun to see a dynamic passing attack in Sanford Stadium this past Saturday for the first time, really what seems like a while. Kirby Smart himself is not glossing over that kind of stuff, and Kirby Smart himself is not running from the idea that the other component of the offense needs improvement at the moment. He was very candid about that when he spoke to reporters on Tuesday night. Let me let you hear a little bit of this.
You know, I felt a little bit bullheaded the other night, you know, in terms of, I mean, not me, because I wasn't calling the plays, but, I mean, as far as trying to run into some of those looks was tough. But, you know, we're committed to running the ball because if you don't attempt to run the ball, you'll really have trouble protecting the passer. So the threat of the run keeps guys from pinning their ears back and just rushing the passer. But the goal would be to take advantage of what the opposing team gives us. And if they want to load up and stop the run, then we got to be able to have intermediate and explosive passing game. And if they're going to defend that, then we've got to be able to block people and get the ball through the inside, up the middle and outside in the run game. So, I mean, we want to take what they give us. I think anybody would tell you that. You know, it's like the textbook answer. I want to take what they give us. But what is that? That's balance. You know, that's being able to do a little bit of both. And we didn't have that the other night, but a lot of that was dictated by the way they played us.
So Kirby Smart wants to see balance from his offense, and this is what that brings to mind for me. And I'm going to see if I can kind of wrap up this whole topic here for a moment. With Georgia ranked number 9 in the college football playoff ranking, it does open the door to wonder, can UGA really finish the season still as one of the 10 best teams in the country, obviously setting itself up to still be a major part of the conversation as we head towards 2021? I would say the answer to that question is yes, it can do that if it continues to develop in all phases of the game, including offensively, where that balance matters. You know, we've done a lot of comparing over the course of the last couple of days, the current Georgia offense to the offenses of the last couple of years. If you want to go back and see, like, the best of 2018, when Georgia was truly one of the national elite, when it was scoring those, like, 35 points a game, 34 points a game against SEC competition, you did have the balance. You had plenty of throwing the ball. You had a lot of running the ball as well. And against South Carolina, if Georgia can take the next step to kind of resemble that once again, still getting what you got from JT Daniels, plus a lot more competency from the run game, then all of a sudden Georgia at number 9 in comparison to the rest of college football, that doesn't seem quite so outlandish. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us, no matter how you get to us today. And a huge thanks to our friends at Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort for making all this possible for you here today. We are so thankful for having them help deliver this show and all the platforms in which we make it available. Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter on video, radio with our friends in Athens on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and as a podcast, wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. Big, big thanks to our friends at Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort. You know, it's only a two-hour drive from Atlanta. Beautiful up there into the mountains of western North Carolina. Great chance for you to get away, enjoy the terrific gaming options they have there. Now socially distant to keep you healthy and safe. They're taking good care of you that front, but it's also world-class dining. Some of the best restaurant options you can ever imagine. The shopping experience, everybody kind of loves that. The spa, you get a chance to really settle in and relax, which everybody needs to do right now. It's all, as I said, just a couple-hour drive from Atlanta. Really easy to get there. And if you want the best possible experience, become a member of Caesars Rewards if you haven't done that yet, because you can really get those incentives and those benefits and really get a chance to take advantage of this great getaway. For more information on this, let me just give you a website to go to. It's Caesars.com/Harrah's-Cherokee. That's Caesars.com/Harrah's-Cherokee. That'll get you in touch with our friends at Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort. Get up there and enjoy yourself. It is a wonderful, wonderful time to a getaway. Beautiful part of the world there in North Carolina. Both of your locations, by the way, Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort or the Harrah's Cherokee Valley River. Both great getaways, and they are a lot of fun for you. All right, we're going to do Mike Griffith here coming up in just a couple moments. I'm also going to talk a little bit more about JT Daniels myself here. Let me squeeze in one thing real quick as we get there. Don't forget that here's our schedule for the next couple of days. We're live today, completely off tomorrow, and a pre-recorded show on Thanksgiving. We really, or should say on the day after Thanksgiving, on what we typically call Black Friday. We typically try to meet live when we're here. This helps us, though, for some of the folks who, you know, do our show each and every day and get us on the air, gives them a chance to enjoy some time with family and friends. So we're going to do that. We're pre-recorded. I have some good news and some bad news with the pre-recorded show. The good news is former Georgia wide receiver Terrence Edwards is going to be a part of the show. The bad news is he's only going to be on the show for like a couple of minutes because we had a little bit of a phone issue. Our phone system completely just disintegrated into thin air. So we lost Terrence on Friday's show. But Connor Riley was good enough to sort of step in and pinch it and finish off the interview. So we will have a show on Friday getting you ready for Georgia and South Carolina. A very little bit of Terrence Edwards, but only a couple of minutes on that front. So it was a listen, when you're pre-recording these things, kind of, you know, all kinds of weird stuff can happen. So for Friday's show, that was certainly an example of that. All right, before we get Mike Griffith, let's go around the doghouse here today, delivered by our friends at Marco's Pizza. And, you know, last night, we just heard you a moment ago, Kirby Smart, talking about the running game, what he wants to see more of from that, but also the confidence that he currently has in the passing game. We all saw this on display with JT Daniels on Saturday. What about Smart's own evaluation of kind of where that stands here at the moment as you head towards the Gamecocks in Columbia on Saturday? A little bit of that from Kirby Smart.
I'd seen it, like I told you, I'd seen it in so many practices, you know, when y'all said, do we have confidence we can throw it? Yeah, I mean, I'd seen those same plays. I'd seen, you know, Stetson and DeJuan make some of those plays against us in practice. But so I knew it was there. It was just, you know, I mean, we were fortunate too, guys. I mean, we converted third and really long, and then a, you know, a red area play before the half that was huge too. So you're not going to win the percentages when you're in third and 20 or third and whatever the other touchdown was. I don't remember what it was. I mean, those are not favorable offensive positions to be in. And we were kind of rewarded by the risk they took. And that goes back to pass pro and all the work we do. We do a lot of work during the week on picking up things in protection. And our offensive line has been really good for 2 years at picking those kind of things up. And you can expose people on that. But if you don't play better on first and second down, you're not going to have that kind of success. And that's my concern and focus.
I think what's interesting there is there's some people are going to want Kirby Smart to say that what he saw from JT Daniels was wildly different than anything else that anybody at Georgia is capable of doing and has been capable of doing throughout the entirety of the season. And Smart's just not going to quite go there, which is going to leave some fans wanting to hear a little bit more. I'm kind of okay with the way that he says that there. I guess it's not that ultimately that big of a deal to me. I do think he points out some pretty important things, though, that there were a couple of moments on Saturday where maybe it could have gone a little different had things played out a little bit differently. I think it all leads up to, you know, what does Daniels do for his on-court performance on Saturday against the Gamecocks? I have kind of set a very simple benchmark that if George achieves that, to me, it would be pretty significant. It would really indicate that things are maybe different. We talked earlier this week about the need to put up 30 plus points against an SEC opponent for the second consecutive week, something that Georgia just has not been doing. They have not done that, very much with regularity, averaged, you know, far fewer than 30 points against SEC foes back in 2019. So if you can put that kind of offense together in this situation on Saturday, then it really will be an indication that the Georgia offense has really turned a corner, and obviously you'd have a lot of JT Daniels to potentially thank for that. It's Around the Doghouse. It's delivered today by our friends at Marco's Pizza, America's most beloved pizza. It's real authentic pizza made the Italian way, but it's also in many ways a new twist on this too. For those of you that want the pizza flavor but don't want the crust, Marco's also got those pizza bowls for you, which I think is a really fun thing for those of you that kind of want to stay away from the crust. Marco's got that. It's all baked in a 450 degree oven, then delivered contactless, touchless to you after that. You can order online with the Marco's app or at marcos.com and take advantage of a great deal. How about a large specialty pizza right now for just $13.99. That's good deal from our friends at Marco's Pizza. So make sure you check that out today. We appreciate Marco's delivering Around the Doghouse to us here today. All right, before we're done, we'll hear from George Pickens. Spoke to reporters yesterday. That'll be a lot of fun. We always love highlighting Pickens here on this show. But for now, on everything for the Dogs and the Gamecocks on Saturday and what was for JT Daniels this past Saturday, let's talk to our buddy Mike Griffith here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harrah's Cherokee Casino Resort.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Always fun to say hello to Mike Griffith here, and probably a pretty important conversation to have here today, because Mike was very outspoken over the course of the last, really, you know, weeks, certainly leading up to the debut of JT Daniels, that he thought it would be a big day for Daniels, and it was. It was a huge day. So, Mike, congratulations on getting that prediction right. You were all over the Daniels thing from the very get-go. What did you think of what you saw? This is the first time that you and I have really had a chance to talk about it.
I mean, the guy hits open receivers. I mean, he's a quarterback. He is who we thought he was. All you got to do is look at where he came from and who he is. He was the National Player of the Year as a freshman in high school. He was a National Player of the Year as a sophomore in high school. He was the Gatorade National Player of the Year as a junior. And in what should have been his senior year of high school, he was throwing for 347 yards on an undefeated Notre Dame and throwing for over 300 on a Texas team that beat Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. So, you know, once healthy, this is who we thought he was. He is the golden child. I mean, he is a polished future NFL quarterback, and he looked like it.
Yeah, and certainly it was fun to see the reaction to this from fans because, let's face it, you know, I think that while Georgia has really been winning a lot of games over the last couple of years, in some cases maybe some of those performances maybe left a little something to be desired for the average fan who maybe wanted to see more offense. Even in a win last year against Auburn on the road where Georgia clinches the SEC East but only scores 21 points, had a lot of three and outs in that game. You know, in some cases, some fans were like, you know, are we sure that this is all the offense that Georgia needs? And, you know, I think that in a game on Saturday, when you look at the totality of it, which was far from perfect, but the reaction to it is mostly positive because, and maybe you get a different sense of this than I do, but the sense that I got was fans are really happy to be having fun again. Fans are really happy to be seeing those highlight plays, those highlight throws, you know, getting Pickens involved, getting, you know, big throw to Kyaris Jackson, the huge breakout from Jermaine Burton. I think fans, even in the midst of a less than perfect day for the team overall, were just kind of happy to be having fun again. Did you get the same sense?
Yeah, it's a good thing because there wasn't much margin for error because Mike Leach's offense was abusing Kirby's defense. I mean, you know, Georgia, you know, Kirby says they play zone a lot, but they look like they'd never played zone before against Mike Leach. And I'll give, you know, Will Rogers credit. I mean, the kid was making some pinpoint passes, and Mississippi State wasn't dropping balls, as Kirby said. They weren't fumbling. I mean, they looked like a competent football team that night. But the zone was very lax and forgiving, and Mike Leach's team executed well. I thought Mike Leach had a really good, and his staff had a very good game plan. They made JT Daniels make those downfield throws that we really haven't seen any, you know, quarterback this year make.
Yeah. And I said this to Connor yesterday. That's the other part of the Daniels debut that might get overlooked is this wasn't an exhibition of his skills. You know, the touchdown that he threw to Kyaris Jackson, that game is tied at that point in time. Georgia has to score again to win. That really what Daniels did on Saturday, the highlight plays that he put up, there was a degree of clutch element added to each and every one of those throws, because any one of those touchdowns doesn't get converted, there's unfortunately a chance that Georgia loses that game.
No question. And, you know, what makes it even, I guess, like I said, I'm not surprised, but I do think it is somewhat remarkable in the sense that JT hadn't played a complete football game since November 24th, 2018. So you're talking almost 2 years to the day that he played a four-quarter game. And that was when he, you know, put up 347 on Notre Dame. You know, he played for a half on August 31st of 2019, but, you know, he didn't have a spring game. He played, you know, he split reps with the ones with Jamie Newman, and then Newman splits after the first scrimmage after making four or five bad reads, from what I'm told. And basically, you know, here's the thing about Newman. The guy had been on campus since January. And they've made it obvious that the quarterback decision isn't settled yet. That tells you everything. You've had 8 months with Todd Monken. You're still not named the guy. And on top of it, he's just recruited the USC quarterback. So, yeah, Jamie Newman figured it out. He wasn't going to be the guy. Now, where Kirby was wrong is he thought JT was going to be cleared by the opener. But he wasn't. So now he's like, okay, I got to get these two other guys ready. And then a funny thing happened on the way to JT Daniels against Mississippi State. The head coach became enamored with Stetson Bennett. He liked his mobility. He still believes in him. You know, he points out Georgia was beating Florida 14-0 before Stetson Bennett suffered a shoulder injury. I can't tell you that Stetson wouldn't have beaten Florida because their defense is god-awful. Vanderbilt was beating, you know, Florida early in Nashville. Florida's not a true national contender. So maybe Stetson would have beaten him. But the fact is when Stetson didn't beat Alabama, to me, that's when Kirby needed to cut his losses. Now, I don't know when JT was cleared, but I know that his dad told me that he was very comfortable with Kirby's decision, which makes me think that there was some concern about the mobility, enough concern about the mobility until JT went to Kirby's office the day after the Florida game and said, Coach, I can do this. And maybe Kirby was waiting on. Maybe he needed that vote of confidence. Maybe he needed to hear that from the kid. I don't know. The knee brace came off before the Tennessee game, but Kirby gets paid a lot of money, $6 or $7 million a year, to make these judgments, to earn the trust of the parents, so that he can continue to recruit five stars who come to Georgia because they trust Kirby Smart and his staff will do the right thing for their son.
All right, so since you bring it up, let's go ahead and move on and talk about that. I did think it was very interesting that Mr. Daniels spoke to Dog Nation, you, on Sunday. I thought, I'll kind of go through everything I've kind of said about it. As a Georgia fan, you love the idea that the father of your current starting quarterback is validating the program and really praising it the way that he did. I think that all sounds really great. You know, it sounds like a really classy family. I love JT Daniels' post-game press conference as well. It's good for Georgia. It was a good job by you for even, you know, getting the interview. So there's a lot of accolades to throw around. But, Mike, here's the one thing that I have stopped short of saying. Some people reached out to me because I was a little critical of Kirby for, you know, essentially insinuating that his decision to not play Daniels before Saturday can't even be questioned because he's got 25 years into coaching and because, you know, he was trying to do what gave Georgia the best chance of winning. The fact that it's a non-starter to even question his decision. Some people came to me and said the fact that Mr. Daniels has said what he said should squash any talk about that. And Mike, what I've said back in response to that, and this is what I want you to respond to, is I said that Mr. Daniels' words don't necessarily end that discussion for me, because Mr. Daniels was a lot more clear about his feelings on his son than Kirby ever was about JT himself. Mr. Daniels, when he spoke to you, made health a central part of the story of why Daniels wasn't playing before now. But Mike, you can go back through the transcripts for Kirby Smart on the weeks leading up to the Mississippi State game. That's not what Smart was saying. On this show, we pointed out a few times when Smart, talking about Daniels and why he wasn't playing, didn't mention health at all. I think the problem here for people who are kind of trying to figure out what happened with Daniels, why he didn't play before now, is the fact that Kirby's words on JT aren't nearly as clear as Mr. Daniels' words were about his own son. What would you say in response to that?
I'd say you're right. I'd say this is where Kirby playing games bites him on the butt. I mean, Kirby likes to stay gray and murky about the quarterback situation. He did the same thing with Jake Fromm and Justin Fields to the ridiculous extent that he never named Jake the starter in 2018. There was no depth chart. There was no announcement. You know, we had to all pick up our cue from Jake saying that he couldn't wait to turn and hand off to DeAndre Swift on the first play of the game. That was how we found out that Jake was the starter, was Jake got cute with that answer and leaked it on purpose. I think he was probably irritated. He wouldn't even let Jake Fromm talk to the media in the preseason. So Kirby, if there's a lesson to be learned, and listen, he is 44 years old. He's only 5 years in as a head coach, all right? And he learned his lesson about the bowl games and bringing guys that don't want to be there, you know, they're in the transfer portal, like Justin Fields and Luke Ford, bringing DeAndre Baker, who was just ready to party and go to the NFL. He learned his lesson about not bringing guys to the bowl game that aren't playing. Now he needs to learn his lesson about being transparent on quarterback, because this is a situation that people follow closely that can get murky, and I think maybe Kirby did it in part because Kirby doesn't feel like he needs to answer to anybody. He doesn't have anybody to answer to. He doesn't have an athletic director. You know, he works hand-in-hand with McGarrity, but you know, as these coaches make 7 million, make 10 times more than the ADs, you know, they have all the power, right?
Yeah.
So what Kirby did was put himself in a bad position politically by being murky, by being coy. Now, he may have done that to give himself a competitive advantage because he didn't want the other team to know that JT Daniels wouldn't be ready to go. He wanted them to fear maybe that they could bring JT out at any point and put that ball 30, 40, 50 yards downfield accurately. So that may be in the strategic point. But what I'm having a problem with now, BA, is the aftermath of it. You know, Kirby continues to try to justify or, you know, make us believe that Stetson Bennett could play as well as JT Daniels because he does it in practice, he says. Why even bring that up? And, you know, it's just like, Kirby, cut your losses, man. Nobody's buying that Stetson Bennett can perform on a level with JT. I don't care if he threw 1,000 touchdown passes in practice. We've all seen enough of Stetson Bennett this year. And listen, I don't want to be mean or ugly, but it's come to this point. Stetson Bennett is a lousy quarterback who doesn't belong starting on an SEC football team, period. He had an offer to Louisiana Lafayette out of junior college. That's it. 126 other programs didn't miss. So selling a Stetson Bennett as a guy who can do this just as easily as JT Daniels, is just insulting. And I understand, I don't question Kirby as a head coach. I don't think Georgia could hire a better head coach than Kirby Smart. But on this one, he's throwing bad money after good money, trying to sell us on Stetson Bennett. The opposing defenses don't believe it. You saw that from halftime of the Alabama game on. They weren't buying it. Your own players aren't buying it. It's gotten to the ridiculous proportion where players on the Georgia football team don't feel like they can give an honest answer about the quarterbacks without saying all three of them are good.
Well,
because they're afraid of repercussions from the head coach.
Yeah,
this is ridiculous. Let's stop.
I don't deny that JT Daniels is the best option, but at this point in time, Stetson Bennett's been beaten up on enough. I guess I do wonder about this, that when you look at what Daniels is potentially going to do as an encore on Saturday, just to play devil's advocate for a moment, you think there's a chance that Daniels just played better on Saturday than he has practiced up to this point in time? I mean, I thought Reese Davis said something kind of interesting on Saturday on game day, insinuating that maybe Daniels hadn't been practicing well. The people that I've talked to that saw him in the third scrimmage, in addition to saying he didn't play very much, also said the moments when he was in, you know, weren't particularly remarkable. Maybe it makes sense when you couple in what Mr. Daniels said to you, which is that while his knee was in the process of rehabilitating, that he wasn't maybe throwing it as soundly as he, you know, is now, that he's obviously healthier than he was at the beginning of the season. I mean, what do you think the chances are that Daniels, and maybe because of the way that Mississippi State was choosing to defend Georgia, just played better than he'd been practicing?
No, none. I think he's been playing great. Kirby said he's been playing great in practice. I've heard he's been playing great in practice. It does have to do with how Mississippi State played him, though. Mississippi State did say, you're not going to beat us with the run. We want to see this rusty quarterback beat us downfield, and so he did. It did have to do with getting George Pickens back. That helped as well. But at the end of the day, I don't think anybody needs to apologize or be afraid to say that JT Daniels is one hell of a quarterback. And it's as simple as that. I mean, there's a reason, like I said, I mean, his resume, it says it all. I mean, these aren't made-up numbers here, okay? We're not talking about Brock Vandergriff at a 1A private school. We're talking about the largest high school classification in California and winning a national championship. We're talking about being the second-ever quarterback in history to start a true freshman at Southern Cal, where all the best California quarterbacks go when they have the opportunity. I mean, this guy is a great football player. I don't know why everybody is afraid to say that.
Well, we'll certainly see. That's a fun thing to consider. Let me just kind of finish up with this here for a moment. When you look at South Carolina on Saturday, Mike, I'm curious of your expectations for the games. You know, the one thing that I've said is, when you look at what Georgia didn't do offensively against SEC foes last season, if Georgia could follow up 30 points against Mississippi State with 30 points again on Saturday, 30 or more, against South Carolina, to me that really would be a signifier. And hopefully the running game kind of comes along with this too. But just the point total itself is sometimes thin slicing, kind of all you need to know. That if Georgia can go 30-plus points against SEC opponents in back-to-back games, to me that would give you an indication that maybe the offensive doldrums this team has been through, maybe there is a sign they are getting ready to kind of shake all of that off. What are your expectations against the Gamecocks?
Well, I mean, I think South Carolina's got to pick their poison. I mean, if they want to jam the box and make JT throw over their head for 400 yards, he will. But if they want to play cover two and give up a little bit of the run game, Kirby will gladly take hunts of 4 and 6 and 7 yards and run the football and be more than happy to win a game 31-10. So it is a pro-style offense. It does remain take what they give you. It's dependent on what the defense does. And JT said it in his press conference. Listen, the great thing about JT that we're going to really love is that he says what he means and he means what he says. You're not going to get any different personality, no highs, no lows, no tears, no, you know, theatrics. You're going to get, you saw that when there was three straight drop passes in the end zone and then a penalty and he, you know, bends over and ties his shoes, doesn't care. I mean, the guy is, he's zen, man. I mean, I'm telling you, this kid is cut different. So, he's going to take what they give him.
Did you say Zen? Hold on. Did you just say Zen? I had no idea we'd be getting Eastern philosophy from you on the day before Thanksgiving, Mike. I'm pretty impressed by that.
Well, there may be a reason for that down the But my point is this. He's going to go to the line. He's going to make the read. And he's going to check to whatever play they've worked on in practice. You know, if they got six in the box, you do this. If they got seven, you do that. Pre-snap read, here's what you do. I mean, he's going to follow the game plan, and he's going to make his read based on what South Carolina gives him, and then he's going to execute it. So he might be handing off 30 times. He might be handing off 15 times. That's up to South Carolina. But the good news is you've got a quarterback now, B.A., that when they make you, when they challenge you to throw it deep, he'll take you deep.
Yes, that was certainly the case on Saturday. It was really fun to see. Mike, I appreciate you being here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort. I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving, and we will look forward to speaking to you soon. I guess, by the way, we should also point this out. Sounds like special guest appearance. Our buddy Terrence Edwards will be coaching on Saturday. His playoff game got moved, so he won't be able to be with us for our Dog Nation postgame show, but you are going to make a special guest appearance. My, oh, my. Late on a Saturday, that has the potential to be pretty spirited, I would say.
Well, I mean, it's Thanksgiving week. It's about time you had this turkey on your show, B.A.
Mike, that is well said and very funny, and we will look forward to seeing you in there. Just be prepared. People are a little bit spicy sometimes immediately after a game, so just make sure you have your chin strap buckled, all right?
Appreciate it, B.A. Have a good one.
All right, see you.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Look, I'm glad that Mike is having a good time with the start of the JT Daniels era. At this point in time, we've just dragged Stetson Bennett's name through the mud plenty. I mean, let's leave that, you know, poor young man alone. Also, I don't know there's a need to belittle the accomplishments of Brock Vandegrift either, but I am glad that he's having fun with JT Daniels nonetheless. I do think that one of the things that Mike brings up, which is a really good point, is this, that it is going to be fascinating to watch how South Carolina defends against Georgia on Saturday, and that's the whole point of having a passing game. You know, I've talked to John Stinchcomb about this multiple times. We recorded the Dog Nation Happy Hour show that normally airs live on Thursday. We pre-recorded that yesterday so it can be, you know, for everybody on Thanksgiving. And, you know, John has said this multiple times, that if you were Mississippi State, of course you would play Georgia the way that you chose to play them. And if you saw a couple big passing plays that Daniels pulled off in that game, you would still be hesitant to make that change because the book on Georgia now for a couple of years has been, do not let this team run the football. That you take that away and you dare them to do something else. Well, when the Bulldogs, the Maroon Bulldogs, dared Georgia this past Saturday, JT Daniels punished them for it. It's one of the reasons why Georgia fans enjoyed the game as much as they did. Now for South Carolina, you face a pretty interesting choice. Now, some of this X's and O's stuff probably goes over my head. I won't notice that in the moment the way the coaches themselves would. But the overall, broadly speaking, point is, ooh, this film of Georgia and JT Daniels throwing the ball all over the yard. Is this real? Do we game plan against this and all of a sudden soften the box a bit that potentially enables Georgia to run the ball more? Or do we dare them to do this again? Because the one thing we've seen from Georgia for years and years and years is really competent running play. And the one thing we've only seen from Georgia in just one week was the explosive passing play. I think it's a fascinating X's and O's matchup for Georgia and South Carolina on Saturday. I think that's one of those things you probably want to be paying pretty close attention to. By the way, speaking of our Dog Nation postgame show, it's presented by the UGA Bookstore. Normally, Terrence Edwards, he won't be there this week, but Mike Griffith's going to be stepping in his place. I'll be live in Columbia. By the way, speaking of the UGA Bookstore, look what I'm wearing today for those of you in video. This is a wonderful pullover. It was a gift to me from the UGA Bookstore this past Saturday. So I'm wearing this with pride today, and I'm reminding you that for all the folks who are, you know, on your shopping list, many of them hard to buy for, we understand that. For those of you who are looking for that person to buy that great gift, the UGA Bookstore has it. UGABookstore.com. You can get all the great apparel, Tommy Bahama, Vineyard Vines, Southern Tides, Peter Millar, what I'm wearing here today, the Nike coaches gear, you got that as well. Check it all out at the UGA Bookstore. They'll take good care of you on that. All right, let's talk about the college football playoff rankings here for a moment. I thought the most interesting thing last night, really a couple of things. First of all, you know, Alabama right now, I do think there's a huge gap between them at one and virtually everybody else. I don't think there's any debating that whatsoever. That's just kind of the way that it is right now. Beyond that, I thought there were a couple of things. I think Ohio State being at four behind Clemson indicates that the committee knows that it has a little bit of an Ohio State problem. I think it's kind of aware of that right now. And the problem is this, we said this on Monday, that in a year in which we're all kind of forced to make some assumptions, I was fine with the assumption of Ohio State's probably one of the four best teams. As long as they keep winning, they'll just get rubber stamped in the playoff. I really wasn't going to argue on that very much. I would have said the same thing about Clemson. I would have been kind of fine with that too. But here's the thing. Ohio State barely slipped by Indiana on Saturday. Now, Indiana still ranks 12th, I think it's 12th, in the playoff rankings for this week. It's a pretty good team, but Ohio State only won the game by 7. They haven't really played a lot of football beyond that. They're only 4-0 right now. That's just a very small body of work for the Buckeyes all the way around. So now we're forced to assume that Ohio State is one of the four best teams, the big brand out of the Big Ten. Yet there's not a lot of football that proves that, and there's no other big game coming in the Big Ten East that gives you a chance to see that. Penn State's not good. Michigan's not good. Wisconsin's season's essentially over now. They can't win the Big Ten West. That's another data point that you could have gotten for Ohio State that you're not going to get. So the committee putting Ohio State behind Clemson, I think, is a little bit of an admission that we think this is one of the four best teams, but we don't have a lot of data to give you on that right now. I think it'd be very interesting. You know, you saw Texas A&M at 5, Florida at 6. I got no problem with that ranking there. I think head-to-head should matter. Head-to-head is not always the only thing that matters, but if you're going to play the games, you have to have some sort of prize going for the results. Texas A&M did beat Florida. I got no problem with them ranked ahead. But consider this just for a moment as my music runs out and I go way too long on this. What if Florida, and gosh knows I'd hate this, but let's just ponder this out loud for a moment. What if Florida were to slip by Alabama in the SEC championship? The game would be close. What if Clemson narrowly beats Notre Dame in the ACC championship? The game is close. There's a way in which you could conjure up some of these final matchups where it could be a very tough decision for the playoff committee that typically likes for the playoff to look like a cross-section of America. But there is a way in which this could unfold where you get two ACC teams, two SEC teams, and you essentially lock out like two-thirds, three-quarters of the country from the college football conversation. That would be a disaster for the playoff. But 2020 is a very weird year all the way around. Couple more things SEC through wise. Let me kind of get to this here a little bit. I think it's interesting to watch the reaction to Jeremy Pruitt right now in Knoxville. There's a lot of message board chatter starting to heat up here. Tennessee's lost 5 straight. They've lost all of them by double digits. This is a program that has not probably been on this kind of losing streak since like 1988, the end of the Johnny Majors era, at least close to the end of the Majors era. The Tennessee has been on hard times as much as it is right now. Now, for the most part, we predicted this before the start of the season. We said the Vols did have some legit recruiting momentum, not like a top 5 class or anything like that, maybe not even top 10 class, but some legitimate recruiting momentum. But the on-field portion of that might take a step back this year. For the most part, the season's playing out the way we thought that it would. But for Vols fans, they just want more than this. And with Hugh Freeze out there, not apparently a candidate for the South Carolina job, no one would dispute Tennessee's a better job than South Carolina, better history, better access to resources, less in-state competition. This Tennessee thing could get pretty interesting. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I have obviously noticed there are a lot of folks in orange and white who want it to happen. So let's watch what happens with the Vols the rest of the season. They are not playing on Saturday, of course. And then, speaking of coaching rumors, there was the situation at South Carolina where Scott Satterfield, one of the hot names out there, at least to a degree, has kind of reaffirmed his commitment to Louisville. Looks like he's going to remain with the Cardinals. And Satterfield, who had been mentioned as kind of a candidate for that South Carolina job, looks like he's removing his name from consideration there. He has announced that to, you know, through social media and everything else. So that's the story on that. We'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, you know, each and every week, we like to present to you our Kroger fresh take, because Kroger is fresh for everyone. We think about them a lot as we head towards the Thanksgiving season. They've been there for us all year long up to now, and they're going to be there for us in a big way as we head towards the holidays. My fresh take today is a pretty simple one. It was really great yesterday to get a chance to hear from Georgia wide receiver George Pickens. Many of you know how big of a fan I am of Pickens. I think he's an amazing player to watch. He's just really, he's just fun because, you know, he's not the guy that necessarily does it with blazing speed. He's a guy that his repertoire is more about, I don't even know. It's like, you know, a degree of lateral quickness, a degree of leaping ability to go get the football. He just really knows how to contort his body in tight spaces, and he has just an absolute magnet for that ball. Did have a drop on Saturday, but other than that, a dazzling day all the way around. And yes, you know, sometimes I get frustrated by some of the ancillary stuff that goes on with him. I didn't like the water bottle squirt against Tennessee a little earlier this year. That's too silly. I think, for a player that has the potential to be as great as Pickens. I also get frustrated by some of the media stuff that gets thrust on him, narrative about, you know, what may or may not be going on with him off the field at any given point in time. You almost wish that would kind of quiet down, whether that's Pickens doing or someone else is doing. You just kind of wish that would go away a little bit. But it was nice to hear from Pickens last night, and in particular, a pretty direct question of, hey, what do you make when your name is attached to rumors? If you'll remember, it wasn't that long ago that some people were wondering if maybe Pickens had, you know, played his last game at Georgia, that he was considering leaving the program or whatever was going on. You'll remember that Pickens' mom went to social media to refute some of that stuff. Well, last night Pickens was asked directly, you know, what he thinks when he hears his name being kicked around the way that it was. I thought George gave a really good answer. Take a listen to this.
I really wasn't paying attention too much to that. When I wasn't on the field, I was, like I say, encouraging the young guys, which is what makes me happy the most because I was a freshman last year. So when I seen them, when I was out, I was just texting them all the time, just saying, always put your best foot forward at practice and then it'll pay off in the game.
A lot of you may remember, and this is inside baseball here, but when Pickens won the MVP trophy or whatever it's called for the Sugar Bowl last year, he got to go to the podium and speak, you know, after the game was over. And we've played the audio for you a million times. Kirby Smart was so nervous about the very young freshman Pickens, who had not spoken to reporters before, speaking there that night. There was a lot of, oh, be careful, George. Be careful what you say here. Watch out. You know, Kirby was just generally nervous about that. Apparently, at that time, maybe Kirby wondered if Pickens was mature enough to speak to reporters. What might he say? Well, if that was true a year ago, listen to what you just heard from Pickens right there. Unbelievable maturity. He says working to help his teammates get better the same way that his teammates last year worked to help him get better, blocking out any potential distraction, just wanting to play, just wanting to overcome an injury, just wanting to be the best possible player he can be as we play the fight song and wrap things up today. Let me just tell you this. We'll fire up the music. Let me just tell you this. A truly mature Pickens is a problem for the rest of the SEC. And what you heard from Pickens right there would seem to be a pretty heavy dose of that maturity. Truly working to make himself not just better as a player, but also just fully developed as a young man. That's a cool thing to hear from George Pickens. The entire interview I thought was really good. Go to the Dog Nation YouTube page. You can hear a lot more about that. All right. It's our last edition of Dog Nation Daily, presented by Harris Cherokee Casino Resort. Before the Thanksgiving break tomorrow, recorded show back on Friday. Let me take a quick moment to say this. Thank you so much to all of you. Thank you to Connor Riley for making this show possible, our buddy Michael Carvel, who's in here a lot. There are a lot of people who work really hard to make this take place. BJ Sweeney, who handles things in the sales side. Huge thanks to all of them. But the most important thanks goes to you for being here, for talking Georgia football with us, allowing us to talk with you. It's a tremendous privilege, and I hope all of you have a very happy Thanksgiving.